Thank you. went up to each of them, had them all sit down, and he said, "Now, I need some truth out of y'all. Tell me, which one of you pushed the outhouse into the creek?" None of them admitted to it. So he told him a story about George Washington admitting to his father that George Washington had cut down the cherry tree and got patted on the back because he was honest. So he said, "Now, which one of you wants to be like George Washington and tell the truth?" So one of the younger boys raised his hand and said, "Daddy, I did it. I pushed the outhouse into the creek." To which the daddy then reprimanded him strongly. You think what that meant, okay? And the little boy said, "But Daddy, you told me to tell you the truth. You said I could be like George Washington." To which the daddy said, "Yes, that's true, son. But George Washington's father wasn't sitting in the tree when he cut it down." So today we're talking about the second aspect of the parable of the prodigal son. Last week we looked at the son himself. Today we're looking at the father and the father in this story. As I mentioned last week, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus used it to great effect, to illustrate heavenly concepts in things that we understand in our day and time. He used what we see each and every day and then tied it to a heavenly thought so that we could understand these things that seem too big for us. But Jesus then grounds them in the events of today. That's a parable. The parable of the prodigal son is a big parable. Many parables, you look at them, there's one thought. This one has so many different aspects to it, so many different facets. We're going to do it in a three-week sermon series, and we could actually study it more. Today, we're highlighting the father. But before we get on to that, remember from last week, we looked at the son. And from our 21st century eyes, we see a man who wants independence. A man who said, "I want to get out and I want to spread my wings. I want to make my way in this world." In our 21st century eyes. Realize it was told to first century Jewish people who wouldn't have heard what we hear today. What they would have heard is a son in demanding his inheritance and rightfully claiming what was due to him. They would have seen a son who was wishing not to be part of the family anymore. They heard a son who was literally declaring his father was dead. After all, that's when you get the inheritance, right? After the parent dies. And when you say, "I want my inheritance now," you're saying, "Daddy, I wish you were gone. I wish you were gone right this moment." In his action that Jesus illustrated through the prodigal son, he was declaring, "I don't want to be a son. I don't want to have my sonship, and I don't want you as a father anymore." Now, interestingly enough, once the inheritance was given, and the prodigal father did that, I'll talk more about that later, the son squandered it. In fact, out of Webster's dictionary, the word prodigal means exceedingly, recklessly wasteful. Last week, Abe, who read the scripture last week, it said he squandered on dissolute living, which literally means he was wild and crazy. And I don't mean in any of the good way. I mean, he wasted it. Wasted it on things that never brought anything back to him except for a momentary sense of happiness. Once it was all gone, the son devolved. Remember, when he said, "I want my inheritance," he was saying, "I don't want to be a son." And as the inheritance frittered away, he actually was no longer culturally living as a Jew, as he was tending swine. The Talmud is a Jewish set of phrases of how we can see the world. The Talmud states, "Cursed is the one who herds swine or tends pig." And so the son actually devolved down below even being a Jewish person anymore. So when the original hearers heard this, they didn't hear a person saying, "I want to live on my own, I want independence." They heard someone who literally became a heathen. The scripture hinged on one phrase. The son came back to himself. That's a Jewish idiom. It means he repented. He realized the error of his ways. He realized his failures, and he turned back. Back to being a son, back to being a Jewish person, back to being a child of God. And so when that moment comes, he realizes, I've given everything away. I don't deserve being a son. And as he's come back, interestingly enough, the story takes a strange turn. You see, this is in our world today, and a son who's declared all these things and ran off, squandered our money, we're thinking, to get back in the family, you have to earn it. When I was going for one of my internships for my first counseling degree, for my counseling degree, I worked in a drug and alcohol program. And we had a philosophy for teenagers that if they had broken family rules, in order to get back into the family, they had to earn family rules. Very conditional kind of love. Being a Christian, I had trouble with it, but after all, as an intern, you do what interns are asked to do, right? And so, doing the program, if they fulfilled level, they were let back into the family in certain ways. If they didn't fulfill those levels, well, they continue to stay out of the family. That's not the story here. And by the way, folks, don't ever take the parable of the prodigal son and make it a parenting journal. Do not use it as how you should parent. That's not what it's meant to say. Because it really talks about us humans, the Father who's God, and then the church. Those are the three entities in this parable. And in this parable, the parent, the father, doesn't act like we often do in our world today. Logic says, in order to be let back in, you should have some sort of way in which we can trust. You've changed. That's what logic says. Remember, we're in the kingdom of heaven now. Logic gets oftentimes tossed out. We see this parable not with our eyes. Jesus told it from heavenly viewpoint. That whenever the prodigal came back to himself, whenever the prodigal repented of his miscues, whenever he decided to come home, he was welcomed. He was welcomed by his father. Now, the way in which we see that, there's a number of things Jesus layered into the story to highlight that. First and foremost, the father went running to the son. In the Eastern culture, then, in Jesus' day, and now, we were there 2 years ago in Israel, then and now, elderly people don't run. Fathers don't run. They make other people run for them. Okay? So to see someone running literally means something shocking has occurred. So when we see the father running to meet the son, we find a very unconditional kind of love. And then, when the father gets to the son, instead of saying, I told you so, which all of us want to do in this story. That's our human condition, right? The father embraces him, a sign of welcome back. The father calls for the robe. Now, robes were put on only family members. The slaves, the hired servants, would not have worn robes. He calls for shoes to be put on the prodigal son. Hired servants and slaves, guess what? Didn't wear shoes. And then the most important part. He called for the ring to be put back on his son's hand. The signet ring was a ring in which the emblem of the family would have been present. So the son could have now declared he's part of the family by signing contracts with the signet ring. By declaring he's part of back in the family moment. So what these little details Jesus built into this story highlights the fact that this son was welcomed back completely and utterly without one of those, oh, daddy, I'll do this and this and this, and then please let me in. That's not how it worked here. The Father in heaven welcomed him completely back. This story's about us. You realize that. It's about when we stray. And whether the straying may be a single thought in our head or a lifestyle that's not honorable, where the thought may be, I hurt my neighbor, or because I stole something from work. It may be I said something cruel I shouldn't have said, where I've ignored my parents or my children, all of those, by the way, are us moving out of God's grace into another realm. When we realize, oh my goodness, all of a sudden, we've done what we shouldn't be doing, and we come back to ourselves, we repent of it, we come back, God doesn't say, I told you so. God doesn't say, you have to do X, Y, and Z to get back in. What does God say? You're forgiven. Come back. I want you to be a child again. I want you to be my son. I want you to be my daughter. I want you to be part of the kingdom of heaven. That's what this story talks about. It talks about how welcome God is. And he's welcome because he has compassion for us. God knows what it's like to be human. Jesus walked on this earth. He knows the temptations we face. That doesn't excuse our mistakes. It just explains them. And then when we do make a mistake, we go back to God. And God, with his incredible love, washes that away, asking that once again we get back into relationship with him, with each other. That's the story of this father. Now, I mentioned as a prodigal father. And God's love is never wasteful, but it's overwhelming. God's love is never wasted. It's complete. God's love is not conditional. It's unconditional. No matter what you've done, no matter what I've done, no matter what we've done, God simply says, come to me. It'll be wiped clean. I'll put the robe back on you. I'll put shoes on you. I'll give you the ring. I'll hug you back into the family. What a gift that is. Sadly, how often we think God could never forgive what we've done. That's a human thought. That's us looking at this story in a logical fashion. That's not what this story is about. This story is about the generosity of heaven, the completeness of God's love, the depth of how God wants us home so that we can do this together. We can worship God, praise God, serve God, because we've been welcomed back home. If only this story had ended here. What a great blessing that'd be. There's dancing. I had to laugh because they heard the dancing. It must have been quite a party, right? They heard the music. The fatted calf was shared. All of those signs of God's incredible love pouring out to us. But sadly, this story does not end here. It has an ugly turn. A horrible turn. It goes to a son outside who's angry. I promised there'd be 3 weeks to this sermon. You'll have to wait for that next week. Needless to say, the love God gave to us is a love we share. God is incredible in terms of his love. Let's celebrate that together. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God, that your love is deep like an ocean, that there's really no end to it, that it goes on and on and on. May we share that kind of love. May we not sit in judgment of another, rather may we sit in love with another, knowing forgiveness at a very deep level. We're grateful, Lord, that when we've strayed, whether it be a single thought, whether it be issues that are deep, whether it be actions we shouldn't have done, when we've strayed, you call us up. When we've squandered the gifts that you've given to us, you still call us home. Thank you, Lord God, that your love is that incredible. We thank you that it comes to us through Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.